shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
What is man? We hear and use the term man daily, whose definition is assumed to be common knowledge. Because of this, our mind races by the word without any thought as to what is meant in the statement using it. An example of this is, man is superior in intelligence to an ape. In this statement, does man denote gender? The word man, or its plural form men, has many definitions according to the dictionary. As a matter of fact, the word man can even be plural in form, such as the phrase, white Western man. Is the word man equal to the words human or mankind? The crux of the matter is that something as simple as the word man can carry a complexity of meaning. Only the context in which the term is used can give insight as to its meaning. This is a fallacy of our English language, and the term must include some additional description to understand the man being referred to in a particular statement. If this description is left out by assuming that it's common knowledge, then what is assumed to be known by all changes with the progression of time? This leads to confusion as to what is actually said. An example of this can be seen in the Declaration of Independence, where it says that all men are created equal. Taken on its face value, no thinker believes this to be true. No doctor thinks all his patients are equal, but that each one is uniquely different with certain physical and/or mental conditions. Science, in its genetics and DNA research, also knows that all men are not created equal. History, anthropology, and archaeology are all built upon the fact that all men are not now nor have ever been equal. Law enforcement knows that everyone is different, even down to the tips of their fingers. There is no such thing as equality in nature. No two snowflakes are equal, and neither are any two individuals. Inequality is the iron law of nature as much as the law of gravity. Your belief in it does not change its validity. The deadly result from falling from a great height is the same for believers and non-believers. For those who jump into the equality of man myth, the result is as disastrous as jumping into the ocean from the Golden Gate Bridge. Man and animals caught in a herd hysteria will wildly run over the cliff to certain destruction, blindly following along and doing whatever the group does because it is popular does not make it right, good, or beneficial. Actions cannot be justified based upon what everyone else does. A few cowboys can drive hundreds of cattle into the slaughter pens. Which of these, the cowboys or cattle, or the thinkers? How do so few control so many? Understanding the principle at work, and you will see how it is being applied to our society. Those who drive are the thinkers with a plan, and those being driven are the non-thinkers without a plan. They are just going along. Why? because it's easier than fighting against the direction in which the mindless herd is going. And after all, one could get trampled in the process. It all boils down to one thing, driving or being driven. Look at what America has become and ask yourself, who is doing the driving and who is going along? Understand that the drivers always know the destination, and the herd never knows anything except to blindly follow the course of least resistance. It is this going along with all the others that makes one a member of the herd. All the while heading to the slaughter pen, these victims have the warm, fuzzy feeling of the illusion that the drovers will protect them and that there is safety in the numbers of the herd. If anyone begins to think for themselves about where they are headed and leaves the herd, then that individual is labeled as a maverick. It is amazing that in our nation, the drivers tell the herd that these mavericks are outcasts. They're not worthy to be included in politically correct society. They are bigots. They are nothing more than hate mongers. They must be continually castigated and they must be silenced. The drover's fiery furnace of slander is stoked to an even higher intensity if a maverick ever points out the fact that cows and cowboys are different, that cows are going to their death, and that cowboys will profit from the plight of the cows. All the while driving the cows to the pens of death, the cowboys pretend to be motivated by the cows' best interest. After all, they protect and provide for them. After driving the herd all day, at night while the cows sleep, the cowboys gather around the campfire to chow down on a thick, juicy steak dinner. Remember the old saying, with friends like these, who needs enemies? The mavericks are defamed, ostracized, and shouted down for their racist views. The cowboys are glorified and heralded as philanthropists. This allegory describes not only what is going on in our nation, but also throughout the rest of the world. For their evil profit, a minority is constantly feeding upon and driving the inhabitants of the earth into the pen. This will continue as long as the radical racial group of drovers is never exposed to the light of truth, but can remain unobserved, hiding out in the darkness of deceit and lying propaganda. What is going on today is not something new, but has been carried on in the earth from the beginning. All this is recorded in the Bible, which is God's eternal truth given to man. However, the revelation of God's word is not for all men, but only for a select group of men. God does make a distinction between men. So how does he define what is man? Psalms 8:4 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him?" In this verse, the English word man is used twice, but in the original Hebrew text, there are two different words that are translated man. The first one translated man is Enosh, and the second one is Adam. The Hebrew word Enosh means a lesser being, and is from a root that means to be weak, desperately wicked, and woeful. This would refer to a weak, lesser person. But lesser than what? Lesser than the second Hebrew word, Adam, translated man. And this word means ruddy, rosy, to show blood in the face, to blush. And it is from the transliteration of this word Adam that we get the English word Adam. Genesis 3:17 is where this Adam appears as the correct English word Adam. The Adam would only be an appropriate description of a race capable of blushing, and that would be for only one race. You guessed it, the white race. And no, the Jews are not white. This word Adam is a racial word, and Enosh is also a racial word in that it means those who are lesser than Adam. Further confirmation of the racial aspects of Adam is in this verse when it says the son of Adam. The word translated son is the Hebrew word b'nai, which has a plural meaning, sons, and is translated children over 1,500 times in the King James Version of the Bible. With a better understanding of the Hebrew words used for man and son, reread Psalms 8:4 and you will see that it begins to have a clearer meaning. What is man, Enosh, lesser beings, that thou art mindful of him? And the son, b'nai, children, of man, Adam, white race, that thou visitest him? God is mindful of the Enosh and will visit the sons of Adam. The genealogy given in Luke 3:23-38 says that Adam was the son of God, and it is into this Adamic white race that Jesus Christ was born, which fulfilled God's promise in Psalms 8:4 in that he would visit the children of Adam. This was also prophesied in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And this is fulfilled, as stated in Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Also, Psalms 144 verse 3 is very similar to Psalms 8:4. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? The difference in this psalm is that the first word, which is translated man, is Adam, and the second one is Enosh. In this verse, there are two other very important words that need to be addressed. The first is the English word Lord, which is translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh, and is the name of God. The King James translators adhered to the traditional belief that God's name was too sacred to write or speak, so they substituted the generic term Lord. It is imperative that the Adamic white Israel race learn and use the name of their heavenly Father. Jesus praying in John 17:11-26 says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." If Jesus speaks about using the proper name of God, then why did it become a tradition not to write or speak the name of God? Because there is liberating power in the name of our Father. and the men who established this tradition were building a religion of priestly hierarchy which would enslave the parishioners. Not knowing who their God is, the people would not know who they are and become powerless. Telling a child that his father is a man not only keeps him ignorant as to who his father is, but also as to who he is. Separate a child from his father's name, and you separate the child from his heritage and identity. A generic term will never empower anyone. Discard the enslaving tradition of men and take on the liberating power of Yahweh, your Father, your God, and your heritage. The second word in Psalms 144:3 that has vast ramifications is knowledge. This English word is translated from the Hebrew word yada, and it means to know in a carnal sexual sense. An example of this is in Genesis 4:25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel whom Cain slew. The word translated knew in this verse is the exact same Hebrew word, yada. From this knowledge Adam had with Eve, she conceived and bare a son, who she named Seth. This word, yada, is a racial word about offspring and descendants. What is being said in this verse? Look at it now with the inclusion of these important Hebrew words. Lord Yahweh, what is man, Adam White, that thou takest knowledge, yada, offspring of him, or the son, b'nai, children, of man, Enosh, lesser beings, that thou makest account of him? As was previously pointed out, it was into this Adamic white race that Jesus would be born. God has a flesh and blood race in the earth, his offspring that entered here through his son Adam. These heavenly children of Yahweh God left heaven and the Father and journeyed into this world where they have been sojourners ever since. What is man? This is answered in two different ways, even in the same verse. There is the Adamic white race who is the offspring of Yahweh from heaven, and there is all the other races who Yahweh created in the earth. It is this Adamic white race of people that would become known as Israel, and it is into this same race that Jesus Christ was born, which was prophesied and fulfilled. But there is still more to be learned from Psalms 115:16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, Yahweh's. But the earth hath he given to the children, b'nai, of men, Adam, white race. God did not give the earth to the Enosh, but he gave it to the race of Adam. If this is beginning to sound racist, then you are beginning to understand the message in the Bible. It is the most racist book that ever existed, and its author is the supreme racist. He created them the way they are, or else they would not be the way they are. If this hurts or offends you, then take it up with God. Who knows, maybe your God will redo everything to please you. This seems to be what's emanating from the pulpits of Christianism. Church cacks are endlessly expounding on the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. There seems to be a lot of hood in their profession, which probably had its origin in hoodwink. And it is the hood that is being pulled over your head. They use the hoodwink of equality. The hoodwink that the law of God has been done away with. The hoodwink that Adam and Eve were the first humans on earth. The hoodwink that all races came from Adam and Eve. The hoodwink that the Jews are God's chosen people. The hoodwink that the Jews are Israel. The hoodwink that the white race is not Israel. The hoodwink that white people are Gentiles and the children of the devil. The hoodwink that whites must accept Jesus to go to heaven and keep out of hell. The hoodwink that people's free will can override God's predestination. The hoodwink that God loves everyone the same. And, well, we got to stop because their hoodwinks are endless. They have distorted and twisted the word of God so that you will stay in the herd. These religious organizations never departed from God's truth because they have never had it. You cannot depart from where you never were. These have always been what they are, and the only difference is now they can be seen as the complete frauds they are by all the things they are doing, which are in direct contradiction of God's word. This presupposes the fact that one must know what the Bible really says and not what they pretend it says. The Jews controlled religion, society, and government in Jesus' day just like they do today. Their evil doctrines had become the ethical norms. These people were not misguided, but were the children, the racial offspring of the devil. They claimed to be righteous, but were a race so iniquitous that their lying and murdering was even carried out on God's incarnate word, Jesus Christ. If you think that this language is too strong, then fasten your seatbelt and hold on tight, as the words of Christ will be a very bumpy ride. Then said they, the Jews, unto him, Jesus, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. John 8:19. Then said Jesus again unto them, the Jews, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. John 8:21-23. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. John 8:38. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews, and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? John 8:47-48. If these verses from John 8 don't ring your bell, then turn to Matthew and read the 23rd chapter. Jesus tells this generation what they are. In verse 36, the Greek word genia is translated generation. And in 1611, when the King James Version of the Bible was written, this English word meant ancestry, descent, lineage. And this has nothing to do with a specific age group, but it is purely racial. This Greek word is the origin of our English words gene and genetics. The church cocks will downplay this message and stay away from Matthew 23:36. As a matter of fact, they only use about 1% of the scriptures, which they twist and pervert to their own ends of keeping the herd together, because they also like the thick, juicy steak dinners. The white, corrupted clergy are nothing more than Jew proselyte herding dogs, and are twofold more the child of hell than the serpent seed race. Their buildings, called churches, are the outright synagogue of Satan. What is the address of the one you attend? They all may look different on the outsides, but the insides are all the same. They are merely social gatherings to sing and sermonize about all their goodness. But these individuals are totally void of the power of Yahweh God Almighty. If seeing is believing, then take a look at them on any other day of the week. Their spirit's dead, and they are powerless. In this state of cardiac arrest, the only hope is an electrifying joke from Yahweh, the Father of life. With this life comes the awakening to the evil forces at work, and an understanding of Jesus' words exposing the devil's offspring, the Antichrist Jews. The following are a few verses from Matthew 23. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, and love of the uppermost rooms at feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called to men, Rabbi, Rabbi, the experts. But woe unto you Jews, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you Jews, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, Jews, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, Jews, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of men in anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Jews, scribes, and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortions and excess. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you Jews, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your father. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men, and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you Jews may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Genea race. In these verses, Jesus pronounces seven woes upon the Jews that he calls serpents, a race of vipers, and says that they are guilty of all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, going all the way back to Abel. Like it or not, Jesus said that they would not escape the damnation of hell, and that everything he stated would come upon this generation, this race of people. They are the condemned race of murdering, lying hypocrites, whose father is none other than the devil himself. Remember in John 8:44, where Jesus told the Jews that they were of their father, the devil, and that he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and that they would be just like him. The lust of your father you will do. It was because of his scathing indictment of them that the Jews took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, the Jews, and so passed by. Jesus not only verbally attacked these Jews, but also physically attacked them in the very beginning of his public appearing, as recorded in John 2:13-16. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. About 3 years later, just prior to his crucifixion, Matthew 21:12-13 records another time when Jesus got physical with the serpent seed Jews. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Also look at Mark 11:15-17. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And still more is written in Luke 19:45-46. And when he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein, them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. How does all this square with Christianism's God of love and Jesus portrayed as a pacifistic, peaceful preacher inviting all to accept him? It doesn't. Their God, their Christ, and their church kike doctrine has no foundation in the Bible. God's word has no place in their palaces of idolatry. The golden calf of denomination dogma has replaced, thus saith Yahweh. The very cathedrals claiming to worship him indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones. Those who have a problem with what Jesus said and did will have an even greater problem with what Yahweh says and does. Jesus was not given to libelous slander, nor to fits of rage. He was Yahweh God incarnate, and in John 14:9, Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He is not a liar, nor a hate monger, but spoke the plain, unvarnished truth of God, the unadulterated truth recorded from Genesis to Revelation, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, which is revealed in everything he said and did. He told the Jews they were a race of vipers, serpents, and that they were all guilty of the blood of Abel. Who killed Abel? For that answer, go to Genesis 4:8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Why did Cain kill Abel? The answer is given in 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Cain was the seed of the serpent, just as Abel was the seed of the woman. Read what God says to the serpent in Genesis 3:15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There are two seeds spoken of in this verse, and they are literal flesh and blood children. Note what Eve said in Genesis 4:25. "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said she, Eve, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." Seth was born into a flesh and blood body and became the seed of the woman. The serpent, the devil, had a seed born into a flesh and blood body who the Bible says was Cain, and his descendants became known as the Canaanites. Abraham's grandson, Esau, married serpent seed Canaanite wives. They were called Edomites. When Greek became the dominant language, the Edomites were called Edomians, who in Jesus' day were called Jews. And this same race is still called Jews today. The very things that this serpent seed, children of Satan, did 2,000 years ago continues into the 21st century. Names may change, but the conflict between light and darkness, between good and evil, between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, and between the sons of Yahweh and the sons of the devil remains the same. The Christ haters are marshaling the Enosh against the Adam. These serpents have even made proselytes of members of our own Adamic white Israel race, and they are twofold more the child of hell than the wicked ones are. It is this bunch of traitors that will do all the weeping and gnashing of teeth in the end of days. Read what Jesus says in the 24th and 25th chapters of Matthew. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." According to the scriptures, there are now three categories of men, and only one of them is the earthly creation of God, and they are called the Enosh. The other two are not of the earth, but existed in the heavens. The first one of this heavenly race to enter the earth was also the creation of God, and is called the serpent, the devil, and Satan, which is recorded in Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The second one of this heavenly race to enter the earth was the offspring of God and is called Adam, which is the Son of God, Luke 3:38. Both heavenly races had to put on flesh and blood bodies in order to enter the earth. Look at the scriptures for verification of the fact that when any being came from heaven to earth, it moved about in a human flesh body. Remember in Genesis 18:1 through 33, the angel messengers that appeared to Abraham were in flesh bodies. He got water to wash their feet. He told them, "Rest yourselves under the tree." He got them food to eat. And they sat, ate, and talked under the same tree. In the very next chapter, there were angel messengers in flesh body that went to Sodom and appeared to Lot and stayed with him in his house. The men of Sodom saw these flesh body men. These two accounts are not the only references in the Bible about beings having to put on flesh and blood bodies in order to move about and accomplish their task in earth. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Some have entertained angels unaware." This would not be true if they were not in flesh bodies and looked like people. God established the law that in order to leave heaven and to enter earth requires putting on a flesh and blood body. Don't be ignorant of this fact, for even Jesus Christ, when he left heaven and came into earth, had to put on a flesh and blood body. As was prophesied, he would be born into the racial line of Adam, who was the first son of God in the earth. He would take on flesh and blood through the seed of the woman. The Bible is the book about this seed, which is stated in Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. The English word generations is translated from the Hebrew word tuladah. It literally means descendants, genealogies, to beget. What does this verse mean to you now? This is the book of the generations, genealogies, descendants of Adam. This is why verse 3 says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and called his name Seth." All the rest of the verses in this chapter are genealogical records from Adam to Noah. The whole 10th chapter of Genesis is a continuation of the genealogy from Noah down through his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 11:10 through 32 lists the descendants from Shem down to Abram. In Genesis 17:5, God changes Abram's name to Abraham. And Genesis 21:5 says, "And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him." Genesis 25:26 says that unto Isaac were born twin sons named Esau and Jacob. Genesis 35:23 through 26 lists the sons that were born to Jacob, whose name God had changed to Israel. From this point on in the scriptures, Israel becomes a racial term, and during their stay in Egypt, these people became known as the nation of Israel. It is this nation that God takes out of Egypt into a new land. It is during this journey that God makes covenants with and gives his law to Israel, and it is into this race that Jesus Christ was born. This is verified in Matthew 1:1-17 and Luke 3:23-38. The Bible is the book about only one race of people that began with Adam, continued to grow into the nation of Israel, and is known today as white Western man. The other races are only mentioned in the scriptures when they impact this chosen people of God. It cannot be stressed enough that the Jews have never been Israel or God's chosen people, but are the seed of the serpent, the racial descendants of the devil. I will give anyone $10,000 to open up the old King James and give me the chapter and verse where it says that the Jews are God's chosen people, or where it says that they are Israel. I've been giving this challenge on radio and in print to millions of people for the last 40 plus years, and no one to date has come forward to collect the money. Why? Because the Bible never says such rubbish, but it does tell you who the Jews are. This truth we have presented here and documented with numerous quotations from the scripture, along with specific chapter and verse citations. As Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. Our race of people will never be free until the word of God is proclaimed and its truth rips the mask off of the satanic imposters who control every element of our society and dominate the whole world through their power of the media and of money. Governments are nothing more than their puppets. What is going on today is their creation only because we allow it. Through their demonic dictatorship, the whole world is being driven down the trail that leads to oblivion. There is an account given in Luke 8:26-33, where Jesus cast out of a man a legion of devils. They begged Jesus that he would not commend them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. These devils will cause violence and destroy whatever they possess. Look at what they possess today. You'll begin to understand why the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. The church cock puppeteers even turned this passage of scripture into a joke by saying, "This is where deviled ham came from." You know, keep them laughing and they will never see the seriousness of the situation or ever think about where they are headed. Their grand design for your destruction is moving on without any interruption. Why is this happening? Our Adamic white Israel race is doing nothing to stop it. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Jeremiah 5:31. You say, "I don't like what is happening, but I'm just one in billions of people. I'm not important, don't have enough power to make any difference." You must understand what is man according to the Bible, and this knowledge you should have gained by now. You, as an Adamic white Israel racial person, are unique. You may not yet realize how special you really are. Know this, you, as the Adamic white chosen race Israel, are eternal. You are the bleeding offspring of Yahweh God in the earth. He is your racial father. You did not come into being when some man's sperm fertilized some woman's egg. It was in the heavens when your name was written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Revelation 17:8. Having a name proves existence. For when God wrote your name, you were with him before the foundation of the world. You, as the racial children of God, pre-existed this world. And this is all according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. All this is God's hidden wisdom and is a mystery to the world, as Paul says. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. 1 Corinthians 2:7. Through this earthly journey, your Father keeps you in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus 1:2. You did not come into existence by being born on earth in a flesh body any more than did Jesus. Read what he prays in John 17. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Thine they were. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You are not of the world, but you were with your Father Yahweh before the world was. Be assured that it is God who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9. Paul declares in Acts 17:29, you are the offspring of God. And then in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Think about these verses. They will cause the Spirit to vibrate within you in such a way that you will know that this rings true. You will even feel it to be so. When you were with the Father in the heavens, his Spirit was instilled into you because you are his child. It is a racial thing in heaven, and it is a racial thing in earth. When we came into earth, we brought that Spirit with us, and it remains a part of us. This divine Spirit makes us what we are and not the flesh and blood body we put on for our journey here. We entered earth with this God-given Spirit upon a mission to establish his kingdom in earth as it is in heaven. Now, we are the channel through which God's kingdom government is translated into the earth. This is our purpose, and our daily prayer must be, as Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray you. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:9-10. Listen to Colossians 2:9 and know that as his racial children, we are endowed with all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling within us. What more is needed to walk in the light of this transforming knowledge? He has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of a sound mind. Walk in this newness of the spirit. Cast off the works of darkness. Expose the evil. And proclaim, thus saith Yahweh. Jesus said in Matthew 13:43, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." We, like Jesus, must be about our Father's business. And not my will, but thy will be done. So, what is man? There are men and there are men. Some are created in heaven. Some are created in the earth. And some are not created at all, but are the children of Yahweh God. All are now in the earth, walking around in flesh and blood bodies, but they are not all the same. With this power of knowledge as to who you are, who your Father is, that you are eternal, that you have a purpose, and that you have a destiny, you are no longer subject to any enslaving force and are set free to live as the sons of Yahweh God Almighty. As Paul said in Romans 8:29-30, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Let this empowering spirit so fill your mind that each day dawns with rejoicing praise, that nothing can separate you from the love of the Father and of the abiding presence of your brother Jesus Christ. He has obtained the victory, our victory. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. Now declare, "I am the beloved Son of the great I Am. As I was with him in the heavens, he is with me in the earth."
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you were fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.